今天我们要聊的呢，是亨利·基辛格。
Today, we're going to talk about Henry Kissinger.
他其实并不是一个大家想象中的和平使者。
He is actually not the kind of peace envoy that everyone imagines.
而是一个被华尔街的财阀所扶持。
And is supported by Wall Street's financial tycoons.
把美国的国家权力和情报变成自己的私有财产。
To make the United States' national power and intelligence their own private property.
然后为跨国资本去服务的一个幕后的操盘手。
Then he became a behind-the-scenes operator serving multinational capital. Well,
这个话题确实很有意思。
This topic is indeed interesting.
我们就直接开始吧。
Then let's start directly.
咱们先把视角拉到基辛格早年的经历。
Let's first shift our focus to Kissinger's early experiences.
也就是他刚到美国的时候。
That was when he first arrived in the United States.
有一个非常流行的说法是
There is a very popular saying.
是他是靠难民的身份。
He and she are relying on their refugee status.
加上自己的努力才获得成功的。
Only through one's own efforts can one achieve success.
这种说法是真的吗？
Is this true?
这个其实有很大的误导性。
This is actually very misleading.
因为他确实是1938年15岁的时候。
Because he was indeed 15 years old in 1938.
和家人一起从纳粹德国逃到美国。
Escape from Nazi Germany with family.
也确实是身无分文的犹太。
Indeed, it is a penniless and greedy person.
难民。官方的故事是他白天在纽约的工厂里面做剃须刷。
According to the official story of the refugees, they worked in factories in New York during the day.
晚上还去夜校读书。
I read every night.
然后说他就是靠自己的努力和过人的天赋。
Then he said that it was through his own hard work and talent that he achieved success.
在短短一年内就被美军的情报部门看中。
In just one year, he was spotted by the U.S. Military Intelligence Department.
然后就直接进入了最核心的军事。
Then he directly entered the most important thing.
情报局还被送去了马里兰州的特种情报训练营。
The reporter was also sent to a special intelligence training camp in Maryland.
这个故事听着确实挺传奇的。
This story sounds really legendary.
但是你不觉得有点太传奇了吗？
But don't you think it's a bit too legendary?
对呀。
Right.
一个刚来美国一年，连英语都说不利索。
A newcomer to the United States who barely speaks English.
带着浓重的德语口音。
With a strong German accent.
性格又很内向的一个难民，怎么？
What kind of personality does a shy refugee have?
可能这么轻松。
It might be so easy.
就进入美国军方最核心的情报机构呢。
Then enter the most core intelligence agency of the U.S. military.
其实是因为有一个在美军情报系统里面非常有权势的中欧保守派。
Actually, it's because of a powerful conservative figure in the U.S. intelligence system who is of Chinese origin.
他叫弗里茨·克雷默。
His name is Fritz Kramer.
是他看中了基辛格的冷酷和为达目的不择手段。
He saw that Kissinger was ruthless and willing to do anything to achieve his goals.
然后一手把他提拔上来的。
He was promoted by him.
所以
Therefore,
基辛格早年在美军情报部门里面的经历
Kissinger's early career in the U.S. intelligence community
到底对他之后的人生产生了什么决定性的影响
What ultimately determined his subsequent life?
其实就是在那个时候
Actually, at that time,
他就彻底明白了情报和权力
He completely understood the importance of intelligence and power.
最重要的不是为国家服务。
The most important thing is not to serve the country.
而是可以直接换成金钱和利益的东西。
Instead, it can be directly exchanged for money and things of interest.
这个认知就是他后来一切行动的一个底层逻辑。
This cognition was the underlying logic for all his subsequent actions.
没错。
Right?
那基辛格在哈佛期间
During his time at Harvard, Kissinger
所谓的学术光环下面到底隐藏着哪些不为人知的秘密行动
But hidden actions are hidden beneath the so-called academic halo.
他成立的那个哈佛国际研讨会
The international seminar he founded
表面上是一个促进国际精英交流
Apparently,It is a platform for promoting international elite exchange.
推动世界和平的一个学术平台。
An academic platform to promote world peace.
但其实它就是 CIA 的一个白手套。
But in fact, he is a CIA white glove.
所以他这个所谓的学术活动其实是在为美国的战略利益服务的。
So, this so-called academic activity is actually serving the interests of the United States.
完全没错。
Absolutely correct.
他的这个资金其实根本就不是哈佛出的。
This money actually didn't come from Harvard.
而是 CIA 用一堆空壳基金会秘密提供的。
Instead, they were provided by a bunch of shell foundations.
他其实就是在利用这个研讨会去挑选和洗脑。
He was actually using the conference to select and indoctrinate.
来自第三世界的年轻政治领袖。
Young political leaders from developing countries.
让他们变成美国的代言人。
Make them the spokespersons for the United States.
然后他也通过这个跟洛克菲勒家族等美国最顶级的财阀搭上了线。
He also got connected with the Rockefeller family and other top American financial groups.
这也是他后来能够进入政府核心的一个关键的铺路石。
But it was also a key factor that allowed him to later enter the core of the government.
说到这儿
At this point,
咱们来分析一下基辛格离开政府之后
Let's analyze what happened after Kissinger left government.
是怎么利用他的这个事务所，把美国的外交特权变成一个可以为跨国资本服务的机器的
？How did he use his law firm to turn the U.S. diplomatic privilege into a machine that serves transnational capital?
他表面上是退休了。
He appears to be retired.
但其实他转身就开了自己的这个国际战略咨询公司。
But in fact, he turned around and started his own international strategic consulting company.
然后这个公司，它背后的启动资金并不是他自己的积蓄。
Then the startup capital behind this company was not his own savings.
而是高盛以及华尔街的几家大银行给他的$350,000的信贷额度。
Instead, Goldman Sachs and several other major banks on Wall Street provided him with a $350,000 line of credit.
而且他的办公室就直接跟黑石集团在纽约的公园大道350号的同一栋楼里。
And his office is right next to the Blackstone Group at 35 Park Avenue, New York.
就是他其实一开始就是深度绑定了顶级资本的。
He was actually deeply bound to top-tier capital from the beginning.
原来他跟华尔街的关系比我们想象中的还要深啊。
He actually had a much closer relationship with Wall Street than we thought.
更绝的是，他这个事务所竟然可以不遵守美国的外国代理人登记法。
What's even more shocking is that this firm can actually violate the U.S. Foreign Agents Registration Act.
他不光是拒绝公开他的客户名单。
He not only refused to disclose his client list.
而且他还直接跟国会说
And he also directly told Congress,
你要敢逼我
You dare to threaten me,
我就跟你打官司打到最高法院
I'll sue you until I reach the Supreme Court
最后国会居然就这么让他过去了
Finally, Congress just let him go
所以他这个事务所其实就变成了一个法外之地
So, his law firm actually became a place outside the law.
就是华尔街的资本。
It is the capital of Wall Street.
可以在这里面毫无监管的去利用美国的机密和外交资源去做全球套利。
You can freely use U.S. secrets and diplomatic resources to make global arbitrage here without any supervision.
然后基辛格自己就是这个幕后的大掌柜。
Then Kissinger himself was the main figure behind the scenes.
真的是太猖狂了。
That's really outrageous.
那下面我们就来谈谈基辛格到底是怎么帮印尼的这个杀人金矿来保住他的保险。
Now, let's talk about how Kissinger helped Indonesia's Killing Bold mine to protect his insurance.
然后来换取自己的巨额的利益的。
这个故事的主角自由港麦克莫兰公司。
Then comes the story of the protagonist Freeport McMoRan, which seeks to obtain its enormous profits.
他在印尼的巴布亚省经营着世界上最大的一个金铜矿。
He operates the largest gold and copper mine in Papua, Indonesia.
但是这个矿呢，他把190个体斯顿太空巨弹这么多的有毒的尾矿。
However, this mine has dumped a huge amount of toxic tailings from the 199 stadium.
直接就排到了当地的河流里面。
Just went straight into the local river.
然后导致整个流域都被污染了。
This resulted in the entire basin being polluted.
当地的原住民喝了水之后。
After drinking water, the local indigenous people.
就开始得各种怪病。
He started getting all sorts of strange illnesses.
而且公司为了压制这些原住民的抗议。
In addition, the company suppressed the protests of the indigenous people.
他还出钱让印尼的军队去开枪镇压。
He also provided funds to the Indonesian army to suppress the uprising.
哇。
Wow.
这个矿简直就是人间地狱啊。
This mine is truly a hell on earth.
那后来美国政府有出手干预吗
?Did the US government intervene later?
后来这个事情曝光了之后
,After this incident was exposed,
美国的海外私人投资公司
,American Overseas Private Investment Company,
也就是 OPIC,就决定取消他们的$1亿的政治风险保险。
Therefore, OPIC decided to cancel their $1 million political risk insurance.
然后这个时候自由港的资金链就快断了嘛。
Then at this time, the financial situation of the Freeport would be in danger.
就非常的危险。
It's very dangerous.
这时候
At this time,
基辛格作为公司的董事
As a director of the company, Kissinger
就亲自出马了
He took the initiative
他一方面去游说了印尼的独裁者苏哈托
He tried to persuade Suharto, the dictator of Indonesia
然后另一方面
On the other hand
他直接找到了当时的克林顿总统
He directly found President Clinton
同时他还让前 CIA 的局长沃尔西去威胁 OPIC 的负责人。
At the same time, he also instructed the former head of CI, Wuasi, to threaten the head of OPIC.
甚至他直接就说，你们要是敢取消这个保险。
Even he directly said that if you dare to cancel this insurance,
我就去国会把你们的预算全部都砍掉。
I'm going to go to Congress and cut all of your budgets.
让你们这个机构直接关门。
Let you shut down your organization directly.
最后 ,OPIC 就只能妥协。
Finally, OPIC could only compromise.
然后保险就保住了。
Then the insurance covered it.
基辛格也从公司拿到了$600,000的报酬。
Kissinger also received $60,000 in compensation from the company.
而且他还特意用了一个叫 Kent Associates 的壳公司来收钱。
In addition, he also deliberately used a shell company called Sensources to collect money.
就是为了来切断自己和这个交易的所有的线索，太可怕了。
It's so terrifying to cut off all the connections with this transaction.
那紧接着我们要说的就是
他这个中国创投的基金。
What we're going to talk about next is his experience in Chinese venture capital.
在中美关系紧张的时候
,During the tense relationship between China and the United States,
他到底是怎么利用自己的影响力来为自己的生意保驾护航的
?How did he use his influence to protect his business?
1989年的时候
,In 1989,
他在特拉华州注册了他自己的这个中国创投基金。
He registered his own Chinese venture capital fund in Delaware.
让他自己是董事长和首席合伙人。
Let him be the chairman and managing partner.
他专门就是把华尔街的资金引入到中国来。
He specializes in bringing Wall Street's capital into China.
但是他要求每一个投资项目都必须要得到中国政府的全力支持。
However, he insisted that every investment project must receive full support from the Chinese government.
他拉了美国运通、自由港、AIG、亨氏、可口可乐。
He pulled American Express Inc. and Coca-Cola.
这些大的公司来投资。
These large companies are investing.
然后凑了一个$75,000,000的这样的一个资金池。
Then they managed to gather a funding pool of $750,000,000.
他每年还要收高额的管理费。
He still charges a high management fee every year.
并且他还要拿20%的利润分成。
And he also has to take a 20% profit share.
这么说
That's to say,
他其实是把自己的人脉和影响力彻彻底底的变成了赚钱的工具。
He actually turned his network and influence into a tool for making money.
是的。
Yes.
后来中美关系恶化了之后
After the relationship between China and the United States deteriorated,
美国国内也有很多声音说要制裁中国。
There are also many voices in the United States calling for sanctions against China.
这个时候
At this time,
基辛格他一边在媒体上高谈阔论
Kissinger was busy pontificating on the media,
说制裁中国会损害美国的长远利益
saying that sanctions against China will harm the long-term interests of the United States.
但其实他真正的目的是为了保护自己的这个基金的投资。
But in fact, his real purpose was to protect his own funds investment.
因为一旦制裁落地
Once the sanctions take effect,
他不光是拿不到管理费
He not only didn't get the management fee,
他那20%的分成也全都泡汤了。
His 20% cut is also gone.
所以他的那些所谓的战略说辞
So, his so-called strategic rhetoric
其实都是为了掩护自己的商业利益
In fact, it's all for the sake of protecting their own business interests
他的这些操作真的是让人瞠目结舌
His actions are truly shocking
那下面我们要讲的就是 BCCI 黑金银行这个事情了
OkayNow we're going to talk about the BCCI Black Money Bank.
那在这个事件当中
In this event,
基辛格又是怎么做到
How did Kissinger do it again?
在这个丑闻爆发的时候
When the scandal broke,
能够全身而退
BCCI 其实是20世纪最大的一个地下银行。
BBCA, which is a complete retreat, is actually the largest underground bank in the 20th century.
它专门帮毒枭、恐怖分子。
It specializes in helping drug lords and terrorists.
还有就是非法的军火商来洗钱。
And there are also illegal arms dealers laundering money.
然后他看中了基辛格能够摆平美国的监管。
Then he saw that Kissinger could resolve the regulatory issues in the United States.
所以他们就接触了基辛格。
So they contacted Kissinger.
想跟他合作。
I want to work with him.
他们这个合作听起来就非常的黑暗啊。
This partnership sounds very dark.
确实，他们谈了一年半。
Indeed, they had been dating for a year and a half.
然后基辛格的团队甚至都已经开始帮 BCCI 来策划危机公关了。
Then, Kissinger's team had even begun to help BCCI to plan crisis public relations.
但是就在他们合作快要敲定的时候，
However, just when they were about to finalize their cooperation,
BCCI 突然被美国政府起诉了。
BCCI was suddenly sued by the U.S. government.
然后这个洗钱的丑闻就彻底的爆发了。
Then the money laundering scandal completely broke out.
这个时候
，At this time,
基辛格立刻就跟 BCCI 划清界限。
Kissinger immediately drew a line with BCCI.
然后把他们全都推给了自己的律师。
Then he pushed them all to his lawyer.
就一点都没有让自己沾染上这个。
I didn't get any of it.
这个事情。
他这个反应速度真的让人啧舌啊。
This reaction speed is really shocking.
而且后来国会不是要调查他和 BCCI 的关系吗？
And later,Didn't the Congress want to investigate him and BCCI?
然后他就找了最顶级的律师来硬扛。
Then he hired the most prestigious lawyer to fight back.
他就是坚决不交这个客户名单。
He absolutely refused to give me the customer list.
甚至他还威胁说要告到最高法院。
He even threatened to take the case to the Supreme Court.
最后国会居然就没有再追究下去了。
Finally, Congress didn't pursue it anymore.
因为他一旦交出来的话
Because if he hands it over,
他背后的那些比 BCCI 还要黑的客户
The shady clients behind him, even darker than BCCI.
比如说中东的一些主权基金
For example, some sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East,
还有就是军工复合体的一些秘密资金。
And there are also some secret funds of the military-industrial complex.
全部都有可能曝光。
All of them could be exposed.
光，所以他就是拼了。
So he was determined.
命也要守住这个秘密网。
Also protect the secret network.
他这个手段真的太高明。
He really has a very clever way.
那在 Theranos,
Theranos
这个惊天大骗局当中
In this shocking scam
中基辛格和他的这些前高官朋友们到底是怎么让这个骗局持续这么多年都没有被揭穿的 Theranos,
How did Kissinger and his former high-ranking officials manage to keep this scam going for so long without being exposed?
其实就是一个用滴血验癌来做幌子的一个公司。
In fact, it's a company that uses blood-related cancer as a cover.
是，然后他的董事会里面全部都是这种美国的前政。
Then all the members of his board of directors were American money politicians.
要，基辛格、舒尔。
For example, Scholes.
茨、马蒂斯，全部都是这种大。
Mathis is a real big shot.
他们其实根本就不懂医。
They actually don't understand medicine at all.
但是他们的名声就让投资者和监管机构都不敢去深入调查。
However, their reputation made investors and regulators reluctant to investigate further.
所以就是这样的一个防火墙。
So, this is how the firewall works.
让这个骗局持续了十几年。
Let this scam continue for 10 years.
骗了上百亿美金。
Scammed hundreds of billions of dollars.
然后也有无数的病人。
Then there were countless patients.
因为他们的错误诊断而延误了治疗。
Due to their misdiagnosis, the treatment was delayed.
所以说这些前高官他们就是用自己的声望给这个骗局打了一个保票。
So, these former high-ranking officials essentially used their reputation to vouch for the scam.
对,基辛格他不光是拿了公司的股份。
In addition to taking shares from Kissinger,
而且他还拿了大量的顾问费。
In addition, he also received a large amount of consulting fees.
然后他就把自己的名声全部都压在了这个骗局上面。
Then he completely overshadowed his own reputation with this scam.
他就等于是把自己一生的信誉都卖给了一个骗子。
He essentially sold his entire reputation to a scammer.
然后帮他们去骗全世界。
Then helped them to deceive a whole world.
他真的是为了利益。
He was really for the sake of profit.
什么都做得出来啊。
Can do anything.
那基辛格事务所到底是怎么把美国政府的高层变成了一个只为跨国资本服务的一个机器的
？How did Kissinger and associates turn the top officials of the U.S. government into a machine that only serves multinational capital？
他的这个公司里面全部都是这种前 CIA 的副局长。
All the vice presidents in his company are former A-level players.
前副国务卿，还有高盛的前高管
，former deputy secretary of state and former Goldman Sachs executive，
他们其实就是把自己在政府里面积累的情报和人脉
，they are actually using the intelligence and connections they have accumulated within the government，
直接卖给这些国际资本
，sell directly to these international capitals。
然后赚大钱
Then make a lot of money.
就他们就是这样一个旋转门
They are just a revolving door.
在权力和金钱之间来回的转
The constant struggle between power and money.
把美国的国家权力变成了他们自己的一个私人的银行
Turned the United States national power into their own private bank.
他们这种行为简直就是在把国家机密当商品一样的买卖啊。
Their behavior is simply like selling state secrets as commodities.
是的。
Yes.
而且他们为了就是隐藏这些钱的流向。
And they did this in order to hide the flow of money.
他们还会专门成立一些空壳公司。
They also set up some shell companies specifically.
比如说那个 Kent Associates。就是用来收这些见不得光的钱的。
For example, the Cent Associate is used to collect these hidden fees.
就是把自己的名声和这些脏钱彻底的隔开，爱腐败了。
Cut off your reputation and these ill-gotten gains completely.
那他这个事务所到底有什么独特的地方
？What are the unique features of this firm?
他跟我们传统意义上的公司到底有什么区别？
What are the key differences between this company and traditional companies?
他的那个办公室租约里面有一条非常奇怪的条款。
There was a very strange clause in his office lease.
就是如果基辛格死了
，If Kissinger dies，
或者说他丧失了行为能力
，Or more precisely, he lost his ability to act，
这个租约可以立刻终止。
This lease can be terminated immediately.
这就说明这个公司其实完全依赖于基辛格个人的权力和关系网。
This shows that this company is completely dependent on Kissinger's personal power and network.
他一旦不在了
，Once he's gone，
这个公司就一文不值了。
This company is worthless.
他就是一个彻头彻尾的。
He is a complete and utter.
只为个人变现权力的一个工具。
A tool solely for realizing personal rights.
我们再来讲一个让人感到非常不可思议的操作。
Let's talk about another amazing operation that makes you feel unbelievable.
就是他在去世之前把自己的私人基金会的资产竟然全部都清零了。
He actually cleared out all the assets of his private foundation before he died.
这到底是怎么回事？
What's going on?
他死之前，那个基金会本来还有$286,000。
Before he died, the foundation had $286,000.
然后到最后，他把所有的钱都转走了。
Then he transferred all the money.
捐款也没有了。
No more donations.
高管的工资也没有了。
The salary of the executives is gone.
这他就是要把这些钱藏起来。
This is the way to hide the money.
就是怕别人追查。
I'm afraid someone will investigate.
怕那些被他害过的人找他的家人麻烦。
Afraid that those who were harmed by him will trouble his family.
对，我们今天其实就是带大家透过这个所谓的和平大师的面具。
Today, we're going to take you through the Peace Master mask.
看到了亨利基辛格。是如何跟华尔街的资本深度的勾连
？I saw how Henry Kissinger was connected to the deep financial circles of Wall Street.
然后把美国的国家权力变成了自己的赚钱机器的这样的一个真实的故事。
Then tell a true story about how the United States turned its national power into a money-making machine.
好了。
Okay.
那么这期节目咱们就到这里了。
So, that's all for this episode.
然后感谢大家的收听。
And thank you for listening.
咱们下次再
见。See you next time.
见，拜拜。
拜拜。
Bye bye bye.